This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Ryan Urban. Ryan is author and podcast host of The Business Owner's Guide to Money. He sold his financial advisory firm in 2022 and now consults with business owners nationwide, virtually with online meetings on an hourly fee basis. He consults on a wide range of financial areas, from controlling taxes to protecting assets, from planning for retirement to making business more valuable to sell one day. Thanks so much for joining me today, Ryan.
Diane, thank you. It's a pleasure.
I am thrilled to be talking to you. I have so many questions. And so I want to start by asking you what you think the value of a business plan is for a small business.
It's terribly underrated, and it's absolutely critical. And really, whether it's a person who's just thinking about starting a business, or someone who's brand new, or even someone who is an existing concern, it matters. Because, and it's funny, when we write a business plan, it's kind of like when I used to write retirement plans for people. You know, they have lots of, you know, fancy, cool, colorful charts and graphs and all kinds of neat graphics and everything else. And oftentimes they just get put in a drawer.
Yeah.
With a business plan, by the way, this is not a solicitation because I don't write business plans for people. But with a business plan, it's best if the business owner writes it themselves. And the reason is, the value of a business plan is not the finished product. It's in the creation of the plan.
Oh.
So it requires the business owner to look at this company from every possible angle. So that includes things like finances, the numbers. How much money do you have to make? How much money are you going to be spending? What does your competition do? How do they do it? What is their strengths and weaknesses? What kind of cost are you going to see as you open this thing up? How are you going to market your business? And I'll tell you, in my personal opinion, if you're surprised by something, particularly a cost, when you're running your business, that's your fault. That should have been part of your business plan, either in a specific part of it or a contingency. And so I think that a business plan is the biggest reason a business fails and a business underperforms. So obviously, yeah, I think these things are pretty critical.
Yeah, boy. And I'm so glad I asked the question, because I love what you said about it really gives a business owner an opportunity to spend time taking a look at their business when we're so busy just doing that we don't necessarily stop and take a look. That's great.
Well, look at the situation. You know, someone's thinking about starting a business. How exciting is that?
Yeah.
And it's like a new love. You're going to overlook a lot of things, and you simply can't do it. And I'll tell you, another thing about a business plan, Diane, is that when you write this thing yourself and when you do the numbers, you may decide it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
And I would rather have it happen when you're writing a business plan than after you've maxed out your credit cards.
Boy, no kidding. Yeah. It's a great point.
Thank you. I've seen it.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. So, talk to me about, let's sort of shift to financial reports, because you know, my understanding is that a lot of business owners don't even know how to read their financial report. Like they don't know what they mean, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How should a business owner, you know, what are the reports they should be using and how should they be taking a look at them?
This is so similar to a business plan, because what'll happen is, and I've seen it many times, where a business owner kind of thinks, well, I have to write this business report, or I have to spit it out of my computer, right? And so what they'll do is they'll kind of glance at it and then they won't do anything with it. That's a big mistake. The two main ones you want to have are an income statement and a balance sheet. But what do you do with them? They're so valuable, Diane, because whether you print it out every week, every month, every quarter, when I look at an income statement or a balance sheet, I see a bunch of questions. And the question is, am I doing everything I can to optimize every line item? So, for example, what about my insurance costs? Have I really audited those things? And am I really sure that I'm spending an efficient amount of money on insurance? Am I not overspending? What about capital costs? You know, should I be spending more on things that help me make more money? And so every time you look at one of these reports, it should trigger your curiosity. How can I use this report and the information on the report to make my business better now?
Oh, that's so great. Because that's the other thing we do. I'm so glad I'm asking these questions. Like, this is the other thing we do. We, you know, purchase something that we need, then we never take another look at it to say, is it still meeting my needs? Do I even need it at all? Should I be shopping it to see if there's a more competitive, you know, product or service out there? So it sounds to me like these are like reminders of where we're spending our money.
Absolutely. And boy, I'm going to steal that point. That's a great point.
Because you do that.
Because it should stimulate some thought in your mind when you look at these reports, and they're not, you know, we're all kind of, I hate too much detail in my life, but there are times when you really do have to kind of drill down and take a look at this stuff. And a business report is something that you can do either by yourself, or if you have a key person with whom you share this information, this is an opportunity then to ask them questions. Do you think we're optimizing this line item? And if not, what could we do to optimize it?
So talk to me about key person. Like who is that? And I guess, you know, why are they considered a key person? What's their value?
Another great question. Look, we all know that finding good people is hard to do, and it's not getting any easier.
Nope.
And so what happens then is a key person is someone who simply, you know, if you're not there, essentially, the business is going to run. Or if you can't be paying attention to their part of the business, you're going to be okay. There's someone who gets it. And it's entirely possible that a business owner listening to your show right now doesn't have a key person yet. Right. So there always has to be someone who they can hand things off to. And don't forget, that key person may end up buying your business one day. So you know, treat them well. And there are ways to incentivize key persons, key people. And it's so once you have one, celebrate it. Because first of all, not everyone has them. But that key person is someone that you trust, that when you're not there, you know they're doing it, that they care, that they're emotionally, psychologically invested in the growth of your business. And it's in that way that you can provide them with certain financial motivations and incentives that will make sure they continue to care that much. I mean, you know, it's so simple. You know, these are people who, even if you just say good things to them, say positive things to them once in a while, what do? They go home and they tell their spouse.
Yeah.
You know, and they're excited. So if you find a key person, make sure they're involved and incentivized, and make sure they know they're appreciated.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks. I'm sure we're not doing enough of that either. of course, we are talking about the biggest mistakes business owners make. Yeah. So let's talk about a business tax mistakes? Like, what would you say is the biggest business tax mistake?
Okay. It's, and this is something else. I guess I wouldn't have come up with these if I hadn't seen them 1,000 times. But it's organization.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. The issue is that many times, I get them out of this, but I'll have a business owner client in the early years who will, you know, hand me a shoebox. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that's not how you should be organized. You know, you should organize yourself in such a way that every bit of information is not only available to your CPA once a year, but is available year around. And there are many reasons for that. You want to audit yourself, first of all. Mm-hmm. But also, I sold my business last October. In July, I wasn't selling it. I just got a call out of nowhere. And weird, right? And four months later, it's over. You know, I've sold it. And I had all of my financial ducks in a row. I listened to myself. You know, I took my own advice. And I had all my numbers, all my taxes, all my costs. And they asked for it. Bam, I gave it right to them. And when someone is going to buy your business, you know, that kind of organization matters. But your CPA is not a mind reader. And so you have to say, you have to know what they want from you, and you have to have a system in place that you can run by yourself that ensures that you're that organized so that you're going to give them a nice tight document. And that sounds kind of trivial, but I'm telling you, that's the biggest mistake we make, because they can't read your mind, and that's where we miss stuff. And it's not just missing income, it's missing outgo, or it's missing opportunities to save money. When you're doing taxes, Diane, when you have someone doing your taxes, what are they doing? They're looking in the rearview mirror. They're right. Looking behind, right? They're looking at last year. Well, you have to look through the windshield too. You have to do your planning for the future. And so if you know your tax situation, if you know your numbers, and if you're organized, it makes it much easier to plan ahead to save money.
I see. Yeah, that is great. And you know, you mentioned something about selling your business, and I think there's a lot of business owners that either never really think about that or really think they're not going to sell their business, yeah. Right? Yeah. So, but I think the belief is that they still need some sort of an exit plan. So. Yeah. Okay, so speak to that. If there's people listening, there's going to be a variety, right? People listening, yeah. Who it's never entered their mind, they're going to keep doing it till they die, whatever.
Okay, I call it the look. And the look is, when I'm working with someone for the first time, I'll say, so what's your long-term plan? What's your exit strategy? And they'll look at me like they have no idea what I'm talking about. And I got to tell them, you know, you're building equity in this business. Just like you're building equity in your home. And so really you want to start planning for the exit of your business 5 or 10 years out at least, because there are things, and you know what, this is something that I, it was like an epiphany that I had about how the things you do to make your business more valuable to sell later, help your business today. It makes your business. I mean, think about selling a used car. You're going to spiff it up. You know, you're going to make sure the oil's changed. You know, and you're going to make sure that it's running for years. And then when you sell it, it's going to sell more easily.
Right.
So you have to think about exit planning. And the reason for that, not only do you want to maximize, you want to maximize what you get for the business. You want to minimize taxation, right? You got to plan for that, and you've got to minimize the future legal potential things as well. And so this is looking through the windshield instead of the rearview mirror. Remember that when you sell your business, that may be your retirement. That, you know, and so you may not have had, maybe instead of putting money into an IRA, you've been putting money into the business. Okay, now it's time to get it back out for retirement. And when we do retirement planning for businesses, it's a little more complicated, because we have to think about things like multiples, like, you know, how much will you be able to sell this business for? What will that look like when it's wrapped into your retirement plan? And so if if you're looking down the road. Or it may be that you're going to sell your business and roll that money into another business. Well, we got a plan for that too. And man, taxes aren't small.
Yeah.
they're not insignificant. And so there are ways to minimize your exposure to taxation when you sell your business. The earlier you get to do it, get in on this, the better for you. But don't forget, again, the things you do today can help you later and today.
Yeah, right. Right. I'm really glad that you said that, because once again, I think people hear exit plan and they think about the future. And what I'm hearing you say is, okay, and it helps you right now because it helps you problem solve, create better efficiencies, things like that.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you say are like the key drivers of a successful business?
You know, there are a few. As I mentioned, organization is terribly important.
Yeah.
Very important thing. There are a couple of things. Another thing is, and this is really understated often, and that's communication. And I'm not talking about communication with prospects or clients or vendors. I'm talking about intercompany communication. And if I were an interior designer, I would talk about feng shui, yeah. Right? So essentially, the movement of air, the movement of information through a company. What does that look like? Where are the bottlenecks? Where does communication become distorted from the time the phone rings with a new client to the time you're billing them, you know, for service? So I see that that's really, really underappreciated, Diana. And you see a lot of bottlenecks you can actually see a bottleneck like the first one or two times I'm visiting the company, because you can see where the information is not flowing smoothly. There's another thing too, and this is, I'm kind of combining a couple of the mistakes we make, but another important thing is that a business owner, you may be the world's best chiropractor or the world's best plumber or the world's best florist. That does not mean you're going to be a good and effective business owner.
wait, will you say that again?
You may not be a good and effective business owner only because you know what you're doing. Okay, with what you actually do.
Right.
So you have to build out your business owner skill set. And that means things like communication, organization, and when there are things that you're simply not good at, then you have to have a system that you can use to pawn it off or to at least automate it the best you can. And I'll tell you what, and Diane, you know this, there's a cottage industry of people who provide programs for businesses.
Yeah.
You know, from everything from accounting to, you know, collections. I mean, you don't have to do everything yourself. And I know, actually some of them are free and some are pretty cheap, but you know, this is going to be an expense. And in fact, that might not be a bad thing to have in your business plan. Okay. I'm going to have to spend, you know, $200 a month on this software and that software and that software just to keep my act together. And that's okay. But these things have become so cheap now.
Yeah.
That they're very, very doable.
Well, plus if you weigh it against what it's costing for you to be doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, of course, again, that's, you know, that may not be our bailiwick. And we can goof things up pretty quick, you know.
Right.
I mean, I have a great deal of personal experience in goofing things up, and
don't we all?
You know, well, as a business owner, it's so hard. I mean, we all know that it's so hard to see the forest for the trees because we're so busy doing, you know, the daily manual grind that when you can, anytime you have the opportunity to take a little bit of a weight off yourself, that's a great way to do it. And in some cases, that might be even some kind of a working relationship with another company where you trade services or something like that, because you don't want to make a mistake. And when it comes to anything having to do with numbers, so you know, taxes, accounting, and all that, collections, there's not a lot of room for error. And so just faking it, I think, is a bad idea.
Oh boy, I so agree with you on that. And when you're talking about organization and things like that, I automatically go to systems and structure.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And these internal systems. And so what I'm hearing is it's critically important, which I totally agree with. How does a business owner figure out like what internal systems are best for them? Because like I get this question about CRM and things like that, and it feels like it's pretty individual.
Yeah, that, you know, the good news is that there are so many choices out there, and the bad news is that there are so many choices. So you need, there's only a couple of ways to do this. One, you know, it's like, and it's so funny because it's like when I've done investment planning, retirement planning for clients, you know, it's the same thing. There are so many choices out there. The hard part is narrowing it down so that you have a couple of good choices to choose from and then just get rid of the garbage, you know, on the other side.
Right.
You know, you have to do your research. And you have to look for reviews that you can believe. You can look for, you know, can ask people who run a business, you know, what do you use? What's the strengths and weaknesses of it? Because you're right. Every system, and that's one of my favorite words, is system. Every system has its own unique character.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, like, for example, this one is going to be better for detailed oriented white collar businesses. And then this one over here is best for blue collar business, blah, 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 you know. And so you have to try to narrow it down that way. And generally speaking, the way that I do it personally for my own firm, when I owned it, was I would just go in and I would look for reviews and I would try to understand the system the best I could. And you know, you can get a pretty good feeling for it just in a few minutes once you're in there.
Sure.
And oftentimes they will provide you with some guidance on this kind of system is best for that situation. You also have to, if you possibly can, just call them. You know, I know how tempting it is to do stuff online, but sometimes you have to speak with a human being and, you know, ask them questions that are specific to you. And, you know, sometimes that's the best you can do. And when I would take on a new system, I did it with, okay, I'm giving this puppy 30 days and let's see if I can warm up to it enough, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's too important. Plus, if you can't explain it to a key person, now you got a double problem because they're going to be off, you know. But it has to be something that you personally are comfortable with.
Boy, yeah, that it is such a good point. I love this idea of having it in your mind that you're trying it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That you're, you know, going to give it energy just to make sure that it's the right solution. So you're not going to be upset if you decide it's not.
Right.
And you'll move on to the next one. Cause I think that's one of those. First of all, I think it paralyzes people. So they make no decision.
Yes.
Right. Or they make a decision and then they force themselves to make it work even when it's not working.
So true. And there's actually another possibility, and this happened to me too, personally, and that is sometimes you'll find you don't really need the system.
Yeah.
You know, I know what these things do now. I don't need this. I can do this by doing this and this, or this is too much, you know? So right. Yeah, sometimes you have to learn by doing, but man, I'm a cheapskate and I'm not going to spend money on something I don't need or something that is way beyond me, you know?
Yeah, but that, so I'm glad you brought that up too, because I know I have people say to me, oh, you got to get this program. You got it. This thing's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I'm an early adopter. So I will take a look at it. But then I have to say to myself, okay, hang on a second. Does this even pertain to my business? Is this even something that, because just because Joe thinks it's fabulous doesn't mean it even fits with what I'm doing.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And so, and that's why, and also it's so important that the actual business owner is the one doing the first, you know, look at it.
Ah.
Because you have the vision for your company and so you're going to have to decide. But if you do have that key person or at least someone with whom you can have a conversation about what you need, take their input too and say, yeah. You know, and especially if they have experience in that area, you're going to say, okay, what kind of things do you look for? Because they can be a big help too, and they can teach you so that then you're comfortable with it. So there's a few things. It's an art as much as a science, and your point is so important that it's up to the individual.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I love that idea of having conversations that make sense, right? Getting people involved, which is why you need these people in your world who know things you don't.
And that's the intercompany communication that I'm talking about.
Yep. 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 I get it. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, Ryan, I'm loving this. So if there's one thing that you would suggest that the listeners think about, take action on, you know, after they've listened to this episode, what do you think it would be?
It is the one thing that excites me the most about my book and about everything I do. And that is when we talked about how planning for the future can help you today.
Mm.
Because we look at 16 things. And they include things like, is your technology up to speed? Is the owner too important to the business? In other words, if you were to leave and sell the business, someone's buying your business is going to see that, and it's going to make your business less attractive. But also today, what happens if you get hurt? What happens if you get sick? You know, right. You need someone who can step in. So we look at 16 different things that end up being able to help you tomorrow, today, but also when someone is looking to purchase your business, it's going to make your business that much more valuable. So of all the things I talk about, that's it. That's the one.
Okay. That is so great. I appreciate it. And so thank you so much for spending this time with us. I think this has been an invaluable conversation. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you, how they can find your book, please?
Sure. It's available on Amazon. It's the Business Owner's Guide to Money. You can go to my website and learn more about me. It's alpha4business.com. And my email is ryan@alpha4business.com.
Excellent. Thank you. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.